spreading love to the community. I'm on your block, I'm spreading unity. I'm being positive, what they gonna do to me? I'm waving that stick, this isn't new to me. I'm in a trap, I'm spreading love. I'm in your hood, I'm giving out hugs.
Hey everyone, you are tuning into Something About Minnie, and if you were wondering what that little snippet of a slap was, it is our guest today, Paperboy Prince.
Ha, paper, yeah, it's our time. One love, it's your boy Paperboy Prince of the suburbs, aka Paperboy Love Prince, Paperboy Prince for Congress, paperboyprince.com. Thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say to everyone here, I love you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I consider this an honor. I'm so excited. I'm also very comfortable. So,
yay. Thank you. Yeah. No, thank you for coming on. Like, I'm super excited. We've been talking about having this podcast for a minute. So, I'm glad that we're finally able to do it. Because I'm sure a lot of people are interested also in just learning about you. Because as soon as I came across your social media, I was like, I didn't know who the fuck this person is. I'm sorry. I like have such a potty mouth. But I needed to know who you were, you know? So the song, if anyone was wondering, is called Spreading Love. It's by Paperboy Prince of the Suburbs. You can look that up on iTunes and I'm sure any other places that they are streaming music. Also a good Google search will, I feel like, get you some really good stuff.
Or paperboyprince.com, my website. I have a lot of stuff there. That's just a great spot to go. paperboyprince.com, at paperboy the prince on Instagram. So, and you can vote for me actually June 23rd. Not to give it away, but I want to say it at the top.
Yeah, no, say
just
it.
Because one of the things they try to do when people are running for office, running for public office, you know, especially new candidates, they try to hide it. And when I say they, I mean the powers that be. Mm-hmm. So I want to get out and say it right at the top of this podcast that vote for me June 23rd. I'm running for Congress, New York 7th District. So that is a large part of Brooklyn, part of the Lower East Side and Ridgewood and Woodside, Queens. So feel free to vote for me. Spread love. We're going to bring so many amazing things. We're going to talk about that later, but I just wanted to say that. So
yeah, no, I'm glad because there's so many things that, you know, I wanted to introduce you as because it's like, okay, you're a musical artist, you're running for Congress, but it's like, it's hard to cover all those bases so quickly because it's just like, you're so multifaceted. You know what I mean? So a huge reason why I thought you were interesting was not only because you were an entertainer, but because you had this like political side and you started running for Congress and then you actually made ballot. So like at what point did you realize you were interested in politics, not even just to be a part of them in like, you know, you're at a party drunk talking about politics with your friends. But like at what point did you decide like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. I think it should be me.
Well, you know what? Again, thank you so much for having me, and I love you. You're amazing as well.
You're
so
awesome.
So I also want to say that. So I'm very thankful for you. But you know, as far as all of that, to take a step back, you know, I do a lot of different things. So it's kind of like weird to just intro me as a politician because I'm not a politician, right? I'm an outsider for that. Or to intro me as a musician because, you know, I even though I am a musician, I have, you know, so thousands of songs, you know, but it's just like, oh, I also, you know, make videos. And then it's just like, but it's just weird to just say that because I make a kind of specific type of videos. And then it's like, you know, I also perform. But it's weird to say that because I do a very specific.
You know what? I understand. I'm not running for Congress, but I do understand about having multiple identities that exist simultaneously.
Exactly. Yeah, no. And especially in a medium like this where people can actually hear me, you know, talk about the issues and just explain my background a little more. But definitely, you know, and you asked earlier about what was kind of
the turning point or
what got me into it. Yeah, you know, from a young age, my parents met in Washington, D.C. They both went to Howard University there, and they met there. So they, even though they weren't from that city, they have strong ties to Washington. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, my mom got me into a lot of different clubs, working with the House of Representatives and working on Capitol Hill and like all these different like programs. Like, you know how some people, like, I also played basketball, right? I was actually like a really good basketball player.
Wow.
In high school. Like, yeah, so I could have.
You could have gone that way too. I was also been.
But I don't
LeBron James.
I don't like talking about that because then it's like, you know, I don't like you know, back in my day, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I was bringing that up to say, like, you know, some kids go to like basketball camp, which I did, and then you spin that and you get a network around that. Some kids go to science camp and you get a network, which I did, and you get like a network around that, or maybe you get so inspired by that you follow through with that for the rest of your life, or you come back to that.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I was in these like I was at Capitol Hill during the summers on internships, and then also at the Supreme Court in internships and during the summers, and like being around these places and these halls and these talks and these meetings and hearing about these different committees and all these stuff that's like was super boring then. And it was kind of like, okay, I'm trying to be like super straight edge and just like be a good kid, you know, and just learn and just, you know, but to like pushing back from that and getting into more artistic vibes and just really becoming an artist. And but yeah, from that young age, that's actually where I was interested.
So, like,
in
your parents kind of a little bit, well, your mom kind of got you into like, you know, a place where you were exposed to it.
100%. Like, I was like working in my congressman's local office. Right.
So, by the way, let me just go ahead and say, because as much as it's so important that we're talking about all this stuff, there's like a little bit of a funny side too, where like I first found Paperboy because I saw him go viral on a roof that was around my neighborhood. And I was like, I know this block like completely, and I go and I like find this person, and it's linked. So I go over, it's a video where you're naked on top of a roof, you know what I mean? So it was one of those. And then I think there was one other one where you were like skating on the roof, or you were like a bubble boy walking around, like, you know. So
yeah.
So there's all these videos that, in case you guys haven't seen it like, he's been featured on World Star, you know what I mean? So you've definitely already gotten yourself like an audience to some extent.
Yeah. And
not necessarily a political one, but people are very intrigued by you in general. Has it always been like that?
Yeah,
because I mean, even your fashion, you know what I mean? Like, you got 3 watches on.
Thank you. Yeah. No, that's thank you. Yeah. You know what? No, yeah, I've been in the New York Times for fashion, like, honestly, best style, like, it was, like, 2016 or something like that, 2017 maybe, I don't know. So, no, there's been a lot of different ways, because I've won awards from Harvard University, their Center for the Press and the Politics, for some of my work in journalism, so...
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of different...
Casually gotten recognized by Harvard for your work in journalism.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Like, so that's really fucking cool. And on top of that, like, you have great fashion.
You know, this awesome. so it's kind of like a different... yeah, there's been different ways that, like, when you talk about, like, going viral and stuff like that, like, I've been exposed to a lot of platforms, like, in a lot of ways and... so many times, and because I have so many different characters I do too. That's the thing, you kind of mentioned like I was on the roof of these different things, and like there's been so many different other videos, like I've become viral. I did this like Lil Nas X like impersonator thing that a while ago, and like so many random things that like, but they're not random because I just do characters that are based on life and, you know, my fiction side, and then exploring with the world around me and the things I find funny and wholesome or crazy, or, you know what I mean? So I'm running for office and I'm talk to people and then I wear a certain jacket when I street perform because I'm a street and people are like, whoa, you're the dude that wears the, that had the pizza chain. Cause I used to perform with this huge pizza chain. Yeah. And like, that's how just some people know me in their head. You know what I mean?
How are we going to kind of connect the dots and make them figure out like, oh, this is Paperboy Prince, who I want to be my congressman. Do you kind of see yourself using, you know, the, I don't want to even say clout because I think it's so much deeper than clout, but like, how do you feel like that's going to kind of translate into your campaign and having people vote for you? Like a demographic that already is kind of like very shaky on voting. Cause like, we're about the same age. I'm 26. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, perfect. So you know that a lot of people our age have, I don't want to say given up on voting, but like they have a very specific stance on things, you know? So how do you feel like you're gonna kind of like translate the persona, the other personas that you have out there into somebody that we can trust as like a congressman, if I worded that correctly?
You know, as far as running a campaign, a big part of it, the hard part is getting the word out there.
Right.
That's the hardest part. So it's kind of like, the fact that you know is a good thing. And it was like, who knows if we would have connected if I, and then now I can via you connect to all of your listeners. And
a lot of them are that demographic, you know what I mean? That they want things to change so bad. It's not that they're lazy and don't want shit to happen. It's just that with a system that has kind of let them down so many times, who wants to put more work and more pain into something when you don't know if it's going to give back? So you know, I kind of think maybe when you've seen everything running in a certain way, you kind of want to see something completely different.
Right. I mean, so maybe that works in my favor. Maybe a lot of people are fed up. I'm so
mm-hmm. But you know what I mean?
You know what, like, I mean? People, a lot of people are fed up.
That's personable. A lot of people are just effing fed up.
Right. Exactly. And excuse my language there, but you know, it's the truth. Like, this is what I hear from a lot of people. They are fed up. So, I mean, that's a big hope, you know? And that's why the biggest challenge is just getting the word out there that there is this alternative that people just know before they even go to vote. But the good thing is a lot of people vote with their hearts. And, you know, I am more in touch with the general electorate and the people that are here in the community than our current representation, because I'm actually out here with the people. As someone who's, like we mentioned, a activist, a performer, an artist, a scholar, you know, I'm interacting with the people in all these ways and trying to use creative ways to connect to people, to inspire people. And a big part of my message and mission is that we actually need different types of people involved in our government if we want to get different type of results. We can't keep depending on the same type of person. A different person, that's the same type of person.
Exactly.
There's just a different name, different face, right. Just different gender, different race.
Had to jump through the same hoops, had to, you know what I mean, say the same thing.
Right. And so they all generate the same ideas over and over again. We actually need people that are going to, you know, give us fresh ideas, that aren't afraid to take risks, that have a different skill set. You know what I mean? That can actually get us different results, that can actually bring in new people, that can actually revitalize the base of people. Because ultimately, because I used to be a person who's like, I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't count. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. And then it dawned on me. One day I spent time on this website called Ballotpedia. It basically shows you the breakdown of how much each election was
matters
how much the numbers of actually, okay, this person won, got 1,000 votes, this person got 500 votes, and just seeing that,
and we're like 1,000 or
right for me, it's seeing that in so many cases where people don't like, oh, this judge is giving people long sentences,
yeah,
okay, this judge you can vote this judge out of office.
Yeah.
You don't like this sheriff, you can vote the sheriff out of office and put another one in, and all they need is 700 votes. That means if you can get 400 people, 200 people to your family reunion, and y'all all live in the same area, you can bring them all out to vote for who you want, and you can influence that election. But people aren't thinking like that because they, a lot of times, they don't have that knowledge.
And they're thinking about the electoral college, so they're thinking about presidential stuff. They're thinking about all this big exactly. shit that makes them feel hopeless. But it's like, that's why I think things like this, local elections, all of that, it's like, you very much like have a hand in that pot still. Like, not you specifically, but people in general.
No,
you
know what I mean? Me, like, specifically, you specifically.
Yes, everyone specifically.
Exactly. So every single person does. That's the thing. Like, that you can influence an election. Like, if you can bring 10 people to your birthday party, you can influence an election and bring 10 people out to vote. That influences an election big time.
Right.
Especially a local election. And we're talking about New York, but some people live in, you know, different cities or different mm-hmm. blocks, and all of that, all of this stuff is broken down even smaller and smaller, you know, yeah. on a local level, to where you can do stuff to actually change it.
Yeah, like, honestly, even, like, just certain blocks are broken down into different things, like different counties, different cities. Like, I don't know, you can get pretty specific with, like, things that you want and make change. But I think people are just so discouraged in general because of, you know, everything that's going on with the president and stuff. But if we're diving in a little bit deeper, like, if somebody already kind of likes your vibe and they're already feeling that, what else can you kind of offer as a congressman, do you feel? Like, what are some policies, or what are, you know, some of the things that are going to pull people in to Paperboy?
Well, my flagship policy is actually universal basic income, you know. And this was a something that I was inspired by, because it's something that Martin Luther King was speaking about.
Really?
Yeah, in the 60s, before he was killed. This is one of the, you know, what gets lost in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. is that so many people know of him as a civil rights activist.
Yeah.
You know, and about his work for Black people, his work for African Americans, his work for all people of different races. And, you know, but something that he was super passionate about and that he talked about all the time was his work for the different classes and working yeah. for the, you know, all classes of people, working class people, and talking about how a basic income is an important thing for all people. And it's yeah. not a foreign concept, because we have this in many ways for the banks. You know, we have ways that we subsidize them because we know, okay, they need a certain amount of money just to be able to keep running. Course. And it's the same thing with,
like, the post office. There's a lot of different things that we have in our society that it's like, quote unquote, like, dare I say the S word, socialist. But, like, you know what I mean? There's all these things that are like, okay, as a society, we decided that we all deserve at least this thing,
right?
You know,
right,
like, we
right.
can all use the post office,
right? There's right, there's all a bunch of stuff that's like,
you know,
exactly, that's
like that.
exactly that's just there for you, that's already set up, like the courts, you know what
yeah,
I mean, like,
absolutely.
You do have to pay a lawyer to go to court, but the court fees are pretty much reasonable. They, a lot of times it's free, but, you know, and you do have a right to a lawyer,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like,
appointed a court.
A court of, point of, you know what I mean? No, that's not perfect, but, you know.
No, it's really not. Let me tell you, I have a few episodes actually about, like, the court system in general and, like, my personal experiences. But again, there's going to be those few people that slip in between the cracks of the system and are able to actually be super helpful. So, like, don't always lose hope. You know what I mean? As much as, yeah, a lot of it is systematic, I like to tell people, like, it's still worth a try sometimes, you know?
Right. So my main so that's why I was saying my main policy is, you know, universal basic income. I also worked on Andrew Yang's campaign,
mm-hmm.
And doing basically a lot of what I do
for
the campaign, just making fun videos. I did events and I performed at some of his rallies as well. So.
Oh, really? So you, like, what was your job in his campaign? Like, what were you in charge of, and, like, what did you do?
Well, what I basically did was, you know, when I started working on an Andrew Yang campaign, it was before they even asked me to. And it was super early in their campaign when a lot of, like, basically national media really hadn't covered Andrew Yang. And it was like a movement that I was a part of to even, like, to get him there. You know, they were kind of just covering, like, Bernie Sanders and, like, Elizabeth Warren and, like, those kind of people.
Right.
Obviously Donald Trump. So, you know, and Yang wasn't a politician at all. So it was just like, kind of, why cover you? Because you're so out of the box. And
well, people were also just like, the press was so disrespectful to Andrew Yang. As I was not going to vote for him, I'll be honest with you. However, I feel like he never had a fair shot, because I swear I watched one network literally call him Stephen Yang. Not one correction, not one anything. Everyone's like, yeah, that's Stephen. Yep, yep, that's him. Anyway, next person, Elizabeth Warren. I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So that's why I, you know, my job was to make songs, make memes. I did events. Like I said, I performed at events and I threw my own events in a couple different cities. You know, and did that to get the word out to a different base of people. And it worked. I influenced an election. There's a lot of people that are going to vote for Andrew Yang and that did vote for Andrew Yang simply because of me.
That was a huge ripple like effect. You know what I mean? As much as like whether you believed in his message or his policies or his tactics or whatever, like a lot of people were hearing about him because of all of that other stuff.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
So who was behind, like, the hat that he wore that said math?
I have no idea about that.
I feel like he was behind that.
I have no idea about that. But it stands for, you know how Donald Trump has that hats, Make America Great Again? Exactly. His hats were math. Which
science should have been, I feel like science would have been a good one.
Well, science is long. The reason it was math is because it stands for Make America Think Harder.
I wish that he would have said that, because, you know, to a lot of young Asian Americans, we were just like, this is not the representation we were looking for.
Right. You but it was mean? Supposed to be like, you know.
But it's like a symbolism thing.
Yeah.
You know
it
mean?
Was supposed to be like MAGA. Like is to like
I get that
get to
now.
Be like make America great right, again, but right. This is like the
it's like
smart
an ironic
version of like make and it's supposed to be ironic. Ironic exactly.
So here's
the same
my
way
thing.
Like MAGA is like supposed it represents a thing,
right? But
you know,
but you know what it looks like,
right?
So my question is,
but when you know that acronym, Make America Think Harder,
yes, it makes it amazing.
Like,
so
that's
I
wish a great thing to achieve.
It
to
was amazing.
Like you know what I mean?
I wish that. That was pushed a little bit more, because as much as like have like we should never be like, oh, people are too stupid to get this joke. But I didn't know that phrase, make America think again. So to me, what I saw was just very much what was there. There was no context. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people saw that without the context. And so they kind of thought one specific thing. And especially when you're running for president or anything like that, it's really important that people see exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is kind of like, for the people who see what you're doing just like as a performer or as, you know, whatever other thing that's not a politician, how are you gonna kind of make them start taking you serious? Because again, I feel like a lot of it is context. But if you just kind of quickly watch a video, you don't always know. But I'm a huge, like, I'm in comedy. So I'm also a girl who does porn. So I know a lot of people think all I do is twirl my hair and, like, try and look cute and, like, giggle every now and then. But really, a lot of the time, the jokes that I make, I almost am testing to see how people, if people think I'm stupid for real or not. And if they do, I'm not going to sit there and correct them. You know what I mean? But I'm also just a hoe on the internet that's a comedian. I'm not running for anything. So my question kind of is, how are you going to translate your type of comedy, entertainment, all of that into things people can take seriously? Because not everybody has that keen sense of humor or knows the context of why this would be ironic or why, you know what I mean? So when they look at you, are you at all worried about that or?
No, I'm not worried about that. You know, again, I'm about making America think harder. And I also think people really buy into when people are themselves.
Yeah.
You know, when you see someone genuinely being them, there's something that you can relate to about that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, yes, on the one hand, may judge me based on some of the viral videos, and a lot of them are also are very wholesome content too. Most of them, yeah. I would say all of them are wholesome content.
Right.
But that wholesome content doesn't necessarily look like, oh yeah, that's a congressman. But you know, I'm an actor, I'm a creator, I'm a producer.
Do you feel like, and
I also will say to closing in on the election,
yeah.
We're going to do a bunch more. We're actually doing a show called the Paperboy Games every night. So tonight at 9 PM, on paperboyprince.com/TV. And it should be on all my social media on Instagram, on Periscope, on Twitch, YouTube. We'll have the Paperboy Games, where basically we have politicians from all over New York debate their competitor.
Yeah.
And then we have artists perform in between each of that. So we bring the artist community together. We bring in the political community together and actually,
awesome.
You know, making it fun and interesting for people to hear what's going on and to see some debate. You know, we have independents, we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have people that are no party affiliation, and it's hosted by me. And you know, the Paperboy Games, basically like the X Games mixed with, you know, the Hunger Games.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, and it's fun, and this is actually our second episode we did yesterday. So there's about like 34 days to the election right now.
Okay, so you're doing it every single day, or
we're doing it Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday. What time again?
9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And on your website.
Yeah, paperboyprince.com/TV. So, and then if you follow me, you'll get a notification. Well, it'll be going live.
Right.
So from there, so I also should have you on sometime to like maybe
I would love to
co-host, or you know,
I could have a gavel and be a judge. I'm very good at judging people. I'm just kidding.
Because we also need some like good,
like, I'm really good at just like being entertaining for no reason.
Okay,
if,
great.
If that's what you need.
Great.
If you need a smart girl, I'm also smart. You need a funny girl, I'm funny.
You know what?
Everything else.
You know what? We need all of that. We need all of that. So
perfect.
So I think there's something there, honestly.
No, seriously. Like,
if you're interested,
I'm super stoked. Yeah.
And it's only an hour long too. The Paperboy Games too. It's like a short thing, hour long. I'm also doing like other stuff as well. Like, I'm watching but we should definitely talk though, if you're interested.
For
like,
for sure, after we do this, we can talk about it.
Yeah, so
I'm actually hella down. I have a question also. Okay, so as far as voters and like demographics and stuff like that, are you more looking to change the demographics that are already voting, or are you trying to kind of bring people like I don't want to say like me, because I still, you know, do vote for stuff, but like people who are like my friends and people who are in, you know, our age range, who kind of maybe don't really vote as much, or you know what I mean, like, are you trying to bring new people in, or are you trying to sway the people who are already voters?
I'm honestly trying to get everybody.
Yeah.
So like old people, voters that you might think aren't interested or are set in their ways, we want them, and we are gonna fight for them, and we really want them.
Do you have a,
like, you know what I mean, like voters who are like every type of voter we want? Now, we definitely want to bring as many new young voters in as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think that might be a really smart move.
I mean, it's the thing is, it's hard because a lot of young people don't vote because they just don't know the importance, and they don't know the times and the dates, and there's no one there corralling them into it.
Right.
So, but it's possible. And honestly, with your help, that it's possible. Like, we just, the word has to be gotten out, and, you know, it has to be fun. It has to be cool. It has to be easy, honestly. Yeah. And it is all of those things. It can be all of those things. So
yeah, it's very fresh. Like, you're, approach to everything is very fresh, so that's why I think it's a good idea for all the new people who aren't necessarily already voting, you know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot of people who are already voting, they are very used to a specific system working a certain way, and so when something comes completely, like, out of left field, I feel like sometimes they immediately are like, oh, it's not serious, it's not to be taken serious, you know what I mean? Because they're just used to, I don't know, it's like college when they're like, you know, your grade is only based on, like, my exact specifications, but anybody else who might be even more brilliant, but just because it's not in that specification, you know, they're not used to judging it on ways like that. But I think, like, people are so ready for something new that they're like, fuck everything I've already seen, but I've never seen anything like this before. At least that's my, like, initial feeling, you know?
Yeah, what's funny, people are already voting for us. I actually did a video earlier today talking about it, because the absentee ballots, they have to send them overseas early to the people that are, like, in the military or, which I forgot to say in the video, but I'll say it in the caption. I'll remember. The people in the military, people, you know, all over the world, literally, Germany, China, Italy, Congo, Brazil.
And now, like, I'm just naming, like, hitting places. All the I'm like, all right, you got Asia, you got South America.
But seriously, because people there are they're the ones who gets their ballots first, but it gets messed up a lot.
And then during this pandemic, like,
exactly,
how's that been? Like,
that's been all crazy and messed up. Like, that's been confusing for a lot of people. So, so we don't know how the numbers are going to be because of that. But a lot of those people are getting their ballots, and they're, because they're so fed up, they're like, you know what? I like voting. I want to do something different this time. Yeah, I'm voting for Paperboy Love Prince. And you know what? Like, people are taking pictures of it too.
I feel like that's really the demographic that you're after, because as much as, yes, I think you should obviously appeal to people who are already in the machine, like people who are already voting and stuff, but I just think it's going to shell shock them so much. Like, whoa, I have never seen, you know, somebody campaign this way, and then also be on the corner like in a wig, like playing guitar or something, like, you know what I mean? So I think it's hard for them to understand that, but we need it.
And these are our not younger people. These are like 60-year-olds that are like, I'm for Paperboy.
Really?
Yeah, really. And they're posting it on Facebook. They're posting it on Twitter. They're like,
that's amazing. It's
just, and I was like, what? And people started sending it to me. They're like, yo, did you see this? And I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, it's a very crazy thing.
It's actually, you know what stresses me out about voting too, is when I was 17, I worked at a voting poll at some point, and it was like, I think it was, God, I'm trying to remember what year it was. I don't even remember, but it was a long ass time ago. And they had me working from like 8 in the morning to 12 at night when the polls closed. And it was just so much human error. And I was 17. And I'm like, you mean I could fuck up this whole stack of votes and no one would even know or come for me? And that's when I was like, yo, I don't know about this system, man. Like,
wait, you were working there?
Yeah, I was 17. And the thing is, they paid me like $90.
Yeah, you get paid good, yeah.
So I was like, fuck yeah, you know, like, I'm a senior in
and
high school.
They paid good in New York to work the polls.
Yeah, okay, so, and it was not, it just wasn't that bad. It sucked because I had to come dummy early. It was maybe not midnight, but it was like, I was there like 5 a.m. to like 9 or 10, some shit like that. But it was long as fuck, and I just had all this power. You know, they're like, go put this in the machine to count. And I was like, what if I just fucking ripped off part of these? And like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I wasn't going to do that, obviously.
That would be like a federal crime for anyone that thinks about doing that.
Right,
that is a federal
crime.
So that'd be like a
just
felony.
Think about it and then keep it in your head. No, but the reason why I was
But that's happened before.
People
though,
think about that. Yeah, exactly. So like, I was never going to do it, but it was more like the power was just in some, 17-year-old girl who was trying to make $90 hand, like, come on, you know? So a lot about voting in general has made me like, You know, but I've never lost complete hope because what else is there? You know what I mean? So I think that
that's why also, not to cut you off, but
no,
like,
go ahead. Cut me
if
off.
You want to, if you're going to vote, right, and you're at that position of voting, and then I'm, and then everyone's a different person, and we're all at different stages, but you get there and you're forced with this choice. I'm sure for everyone listening, I'm showing you the choice of the
and
two names.
Right, and you know who I would pick is Paperboy Love Prince because I've heard of you.
Right,
and I
okay,
trust you on
okay,
a basic
dope,
level.
Dope. So you would vote for me?
Yeah, of course.
So it's like I'm hoping that a lot of people would like see this and like they would maybe want to make that choice because I think beyond that, just like they're ready for something new. I think
yeah,
a lot of people
even,
are ready for something
even
new.
Even if it's like, even if I didn't even know your name, even if I didn't even know your name and these were the choices, like no shade, but I might try the, I don't know if that's irresponsible just based on the name, but like I feel like that alone already is kind of like, yo, I'm ready for something different. Because if you're at the point where you're like, my vote doesn't count, I don't like voting, fuck the system, then when you're voting, you might not even, you know what I mean? Like, you're just ready for something different.
Put it like this. We're going to win. We're 100% going to win.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We're 100%.
Paperboy 2020.
Listen, the same way, and now it's just so real because
it's so real. You're literally running for Congress.
And we're on the ballot and the election is in. Whenever this comes out, it'll be, it's already in from right now, 34 days away. So.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. We're weeks away. Right. We're a month away, basically.
And I'm going to get this out really soon, like in the next few days. Right. So all of this information is still valid, still current, still, you know, I might pump it out tomorrow.
Okay, dope, dope. Yeah. That's great. And regardless, like we're saying, it's going to, we're going to win, right. You know? And then when we do, we're taking that same energy to fight for the things that we are going to fight for the people, like universal basic income, like healthcare for all, like spreading more love to the community through more community centers, more actually active ways for you to connect with your neighbors, right. You know. Connect.
So what do you, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, just connect in general and actually, you know, get your whole life, you know, more fulfilled. Actually pursuit of happiness, because right now we're pushing pursuit of work. You hear politicians talk all the
pursuit
time.
Of survival.
Exactly. They're like, oh yeah, we just need people to barely survive. And it's like, no, we need to be pushing for people to thrive. And how much better is that going to be for the economy if everyone's thriving? How much better is that going to be if everyone's happy? How much better is that going to be if we got, in the same way we have an army that, you know, fights wars, we got an army that's out there fighting for love, that strong, pushing right. Love everywhere, and we're investing in that. So this is the type of mind that I'm taking with right. Me, and I'm hoping that we can also you know, people that'll resonate with people. I have to get the word out there and be consistent with that, but I'm not worried. Like, I see it happening.
Yeah, and I feel like I see you on the streets, you know what I mean? So I feel like that in itself is like connects you to the district that you are trying to represent, and that on a just a basic level is like how can you not represent if you're not in that, if you're not one of those people, if people don't tell you about stuff, you know what I mean? Because I do see a disconnect sometimes with, like, you know, the people and that are running and like the people that they're trying to represent. So that's a good thing that you have, you know, you're like good, just like people know who you are already, you know, so people are going to trust you. As far as just vibe wise, like, I trust you as a person that you're not going to fuck me over. But like, when you win, what kind of changes do you feel you're going to push? Of course, we have the income equality. We have universal health care. Those are probably like two of the main things that you're pushing. Is there anything else that you kind of, you know,
spreading
that
spreading love? Like I said, that's super important to me because that's never been a focus. And why is the suicide rate killing more people than coronavirus, you know, and then the flu, and then it's one of the top causes of death for young people, for lots of people across the country. It's sad, you know, and also so many other health issues that are taking people out or that are lowering the quality of life of people are based on them being overworked, and not actually focusing on love. And, you know, we need to find ways so that everyone is thriving, like, and everyone just feels happy. Like, right. No one is talking about that. That's important. Like, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. We actually, like you're no longer cool for just talking about the economy. Like, we've been doing that for literally hundreds of years. People make money. There's banks, there's cars, there's buildings, there's skyscrapers, there's bigger ships, there's bigger planes. We got that. We're always going to have that. Mm-hmm. But none of y'all are going to talk about how to actually make people more happy, how to help end depression, how to actually spread more love, how to make family stronger, relationships stronger, like father and son better, mother and daughter, like grandmother, and like actually invest in that for like are we going to raise the consciousness? Right. No one's going to talk about that.
Right.
Like, so there's a hole there. So for me, it's like talking about that, and it's on me right now to make that something that people care about as well.
Right.
You know, like it's showing, because a lot of people care about that.
But there's no real direct plan that people are being given as far as depression, because people's depression is coming from, one, being overworked, two, not being able to pay their bills. And then there's also just, I feel like there's a deep rooted issue with all the things that you're saying. So I guess I'm just like wondering how to tackle those types of things, because it's a very, I don't want to say it's an abstract idea, but you know what I mean? Like, to kind of like rebuild families. What does that take? What does, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And on my website, I have, if you go to paperboyprince.com/policy or on paperboyprince.com, there's a part that says policy. And, you know, we have mentions of some of the first steps we would take towards spreading love and raising the consciousness of the entire community. Because, again, people want less crime. People want less assault. Yeah. People want less trafficking. People want less, you know, issues that are making them feel like they're having worse days, that they feel sad. Why do they feel sad? You know, like, that's something that we can focus on. If we find out that, oh, you know, little girls seeing certain images is making people sad, you know, all right, let's find ways that we can help to change that. Let's find ways that we can, if we're seeing that, oh, you know, a certain amount of marriages are failing or certain amount of friendships are failing, whatever, how can we better benefit people? Do we need more parades? Do we need more parks? How much is a greener street bring happiness to people's day? How can we turn every situation more, have more trees and have more plants and have more animals? How,
so do we need everybody to
have a puppy? Like we
you know what I mean? To make people live, not just survive.
Exactly. Like, you know? We have to take it there at a certain point. If not now, when?
Right.
You know?
I think about that all the time, especially with like coronavirus right now. It's like, what was everyone working so hard for at their 9-to-5 job, breaking their back, not going to their mom's dinners, not going to their friend's birthday, not traveling when they want, missing graduations and shit like that, to keep this job that like basically kicked them in the ass as soon as this pandemic happened? You know what I mean? So I feel like so much of the time we're like, oh my God, we need to pay our bills. Oh my God, we're so stressed about all this other stuff. And it's like, you're supposed to live so you could have money so you can eat and enjoy your life, not so that you could like refill to get, you know, get your ass beaten again the next day corporately, or like, you know what I mean, stuff like that. So I think it's good that you're putting that focus on living and not just, you know, life, because I do feel like around a lot of areas there's just a lot of people who are just surviving and they don't really look past how to fulfill their life.
Exactly. And, you know, right now,
I think it's really interesting that you have that as part of your campaign. Period. Well,
exactly. So, and that doesn't just come from being like a hippie and like, oh yeah, man, we need to think past it. It comes from, you know, when I mentioned Make America Think Harder, you know, as we progress, right? How much more work are people doing now that there's email, now that there's cell phones, now that there's all these things that were supposed to make work so much quicker, so much faster, instead of having to fax something, you can text something somebody or airdrop it or email.
You can send a voice memo.
You know what I mean? Like, come on now. Everything is so much quicker now, but yet people are working more hours and getting less pay because the machines can do so much more work than us. And it's only going to happen more and more. You know, there's a popular fast food restaurant all over in New York, right near me. And, you know, people, they fought for $15 an hour minimum wage in New York and they won. Yeah. And that's a great fight. And it's glad they were able to come together to raise the minimum wage.
Right.
But as soon as they did that, all of the big fast food companies and many of the different jobs, retail jobs that had to pay minimum wage, they just got kiosks. I mean, like in the blink of an eye, like it was like the law passed literally before it even went to an effect legally. So many of them, already, okay, kiosks.
Right.
And so they're like, that initial investment for them, they might've had to pay $100,000 for that kiosk, but that kiosk is going to have a 6, 7, 10 year shelf life and will work all the time. And they just had to pay it $100,000 once plus the maintenance, instead of having to pay $15 an hour to all these different employees that have all these issues that they have to deal with. So at a certain point, they're not going to need you to work. And now with coronavirus, you're going to see how so many companies are going to realize how much they need to adapt without having a in-person workforce.
Yeah.
So they're going to rely more on AI, more on computers and other type of technology to get their job done. So you're going to be at home without a job, like most of the time, unless you have some type of unique skill, or unless you're an entrepreneur or something like that, or work in some type of service industry. But at this point, you know, it's looking more and more like the robots are going to take over sooner rather than later. And or how much of that is going to put people out of work and already is. And I don't think people realize how soon that it's coming.
Super soon. And especially with the pandemic, we are finding out how fast corporations and companies are like down to just say, fuck the employees. And like, I know that you got a child to feed at home and whatever, but it's just cheaper for me to do it like this. You know what I mean? So like, with your policies and like your kind of point of view, how would it affect that? Like, would you put more emphasis on like workers' rights, or like making sure that they're not going to be pushed out by computers or robots? Or,
well, the thing is, it's like if someone said, like, tried to save the job of like somebody that's like a, I don't know, like a typewriter back in the day.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need to preserve typewriters. Like, and they're like, no more computers. Right. Like, if you go to make a computer, you go to jail.
Yeah.
It's like, wouldn't be able to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just not smart. Like, not having the computer, typewriters, yes, very important, but it's good that we, and that's just in the last, like, 50 years.
Yeah.
For, like, that's not even
the
long
internet,
ago.
Like, the fact that the internet is a whole world.
Like, how many jobs does that put out of business? And it's just like, oh, but it is more convenient to just be able to look it up on your phone than have to, like, go through the phone book. Like, it's just, like, easier. So I would never say to necessarily slow down technology that in any way that it doesn't like affect humans, their like us physically and mentally negatively.
Yeah.
Never say to slow down any types of technology. I would only say to accelerate it, because the whole point is to make our lives easier so we can focus on whatever it is we want to focus on,
instead
of
real shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we should be able to do. We should be able to have a robot. Like, I don't, for example, right? A popular job right now in New York City and many big cities is like Uber, Lyft, these types of things, right? Car share, ride share, as they call them. And a lot of these people are professional, you know, especially in a city like New York, are professional cab.
They have like TLC license.
Exactly. You have to have that license to do it. So, the same way how they have these things, you know, there's the Tesla car that's a self-driving car, right? And when Elon Musk and the engineers that are working on these types of vehicles talk, they talk about you be able to have your car, it's, you know, juiced by electricity. Mm-hmm. And then when you park it, the whole time that you're parked, it can be driving around for you as a ride share, making money for you. Crazy. So how many people is that going to put out of a job that was like, oh no, protect cabbies. But it's like, that's kind of cool if I can just be like, park my whip and then, you know, and it's just like, so, but we have to recognize, we do have to find ways
then
to.
Then there's the displaced.
Exactly.
Drivers. So exactly. Then, how do we kind of, you know what I mean? How
exactly.
Because everything is like, cause and effect, and there's things that are unprecedented, so we're never going to be able to understand how to fix it necessarily.
Exactly. So that's why we have to be prepare ourselves for this change with something like universal basic income. That's why I was talking about universal basic income before coronavirus, before the stimulus checks, before the you know, the bonus unemployment. I was talking about a year out before that. I was talking about universal basic income because we knew all. We're so vulnerable. We're one issue away from being, everybody being broke, everybody being out of a job.
As fuck.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why that's one of the big ways to have something in the medium to already be regularly having that touch with the people and being able to provide for them that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's why I mentioned spreading love. If people are happy, that's a good first step. And then, like, we can make sure, find ways to make sure that they are doing things that they love.
Right.
You know, instead of forcing people to work, we should be finding ways that they can do things that they love. And, you know.
How do you feel about capitalism?
I feel like, you know, it has provided a lot of people with a lot of luxuries, and a lot of the things that we have today, good and bad, are provided by capitalism. Right. There's a lot of good things that's like because of this system, like a lot of good things have happened now. And because of that, a lot of bad things have happened. And it unfortunately incentivizes you to do some bad things. There's a lot of people that like wouldn't commit crime. But because of capitalism, it's like
because it's
advantageous to commit crime.
Exactly. You because know? We end up worshiping capital, which is like not necessarily because we care about capital and having everything, but because capital gives us the freedom to live life like we've been talking about, you know what I mean, see your family, do all this stuff, you know, have extra time or whatever. So that's why I think everybody now is like ready to die for a dollar, you know. So that's why I personally feel the way I do about capitalism. But so it makes me think, like, you know, when you're talking about making people happier and all this stuff, it's kind of like, so the universal income would have everyone's bills paid essentially, or at least like the basic necessities, right? I heard you talking about like community centers, parks, things like, I don't know, make you happy versus, you're just being a productive member of society by giving us a product that we could give you money back for. And you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm a little scatterbrained. I'm trying to like
gather. It makes a lot of sense because the basic thing that I'm saying is like right now, like I talked about the $15 an hour minimum wage thing, right? That's based on trading your time for money, which is like even like a lawyer who might make $300 an hour, they're making time for money, or a doctor, they break that down unless you're on like a salary. But even then, sometimes the salary calculations is based on an hourly wage week to week. And then it's like, oh, you make this plus bonus. Anyway, there's the point is that trading time for money is soon not going to be valuable. Our time versus our money isn't going to compete with the robots.
Yeah.
If it's like, if normally you get your house cleaned, right? And you have a maid come and clean your house, and to get this maid, it costs $50 an hour, right? And then they come out with a robot that for you pay $200 one time, and it cleans your house 100 times. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like you're just going to do that. Or it cleans your house 1,000 times. Like, now, maybe you prefer having a person, or maybe that robot does exactly what you need. That actually happened. There used to be the Iceman, right?
Yeah.
That, like, used to literally come around with a truck of ice.
Yeah, remember a milkman, and
you had man. You had to actually drop off the ice to your house, because to have ice. And now it's like
we can make
ice. I have a thing that makes it for free,
right?
$0.
Right. So, you know? So the name of the game is adaptation, essentially.
It's like, and who's going to, like, that's actually kind of cool, but it's like, imagine have to wake up, all right, the Iceman here, it's 6 in the morning.
It's actually mad annoying, yeah. Like, because later you want to have, like, a nice lemonade or something.
Right. And it's like, okay, there used to be the outhouse cleaner, you know? Yep. Companies that clean the outhouse, yeah. And it's like, all right, you know, a toilet's pretty cool. Like, just being able to, like, use the bathroom in a building. Like, you know, and we laugh about these things now, but that's technology. That's advancement. Yeah. This is the type of things that are coming to solve our everyday problems. And we're smart enough to adapt to these things and make them a part of our everyday lives. So it's so big for us to not fight them and find ways to actually be ready for this change,
right?
You know, as it comes more rapidly as we move forward.
I don't think you could have come at a better time. It's like a pandemic. Donald Trump is in office. We're all flipping out. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but we are all flipping the fuck out right now. Even though I'm pretty chill, I'm flipping the fuck out.
That's the thing that I haven't mentioned as well. And I would never, my policies, my you know, my style, my message couldn't line up any less with that of Donald Trump. But to bring up Donald Trump, it's a person of, like, if that type of person is our president. Now, granted, he's, you know, has done whatever he's done, and we know him because of his being on TV, you know what I mean? Like, he's was just on TV since I was, like, a little kid. Like, but you get what I'm saying? Like, if that person can be president,
right, then why the fuck not?
Like what?
Anybody else?
like if he can be president, and that's not saying that to put anybody up there, but that's saying that, like, we actually need real people to step up and be a part of our, to be our electeds. And, you know, for me, also, I mentioned the work that I did in elementary school, but I didn't mention the work that I did in college when I, you know, actually was a journalist, worked on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I would love to hear about it.
White House, you know, worked at NBC, MSNBC, ESPN, did a bunch of things there, you know, on that side as a journalist, actually researching, reading. And that was before even, you know, crossing over into this side. So I feel like I'm super qualified and recognize the issues of people that have, you know, come up in this time and what we're dealing with, because a lot of our older politicians haven't had to try to get a job in the internet era. When you instead of, it's, you know, they're like, oh, why don't you just go up to the job and tell them, hey, my name's Diane and I'm good at what I do. Put her there. Right. Like, it's like, no, Dad, it's not like that. Like, you got to reply on, like,
you have to hire me or else, like, it's not going
to
happen.
Like, right. Like, you have to, like, apply on a website, like, wait, like, for them to hopefully answer you. Like,
for some reason,
it's like all of this extra stuff, you know, so.
No, for sure. And you know what? I think another thing is, like, you know, like, when George Bush was getting elected, when Donald Trump was getting elected, a lot of people were like, well, I could imagine, you know, having a beer with this guy. I could imagine just chilling with this guy. I know so many guys like that. So even if we're arguing the whole fact of, like, okay, you're doing this super non-conventionally, you know, you're coming at this with the different ways, it's like, I think it's going to be kind of the same tactic where people are like, you know what? I could imagine hanging out with this guy. I trust this guy because he lives, like, a life that, you know, isn't too far from mine, or he sees things that aren't too far from me, or, like, you know what I mean? And especially since you're, you know, running for just this specific area in New York, and you're very familiar with the people, the demographic, the way, the things people are having issues with. Like, do you, I'm sure you walk around and kind of ask people, like, you know, like, what's the deal, you know?
Definitely. And people tell me, so, and I'm super aware, so part of it is getting the word out. It's really getting the word out and letting them know. And, like, I'm actually a very rational person. That's kind of the funny thing is, like, I might seem like I'm a very wild person, but
yeah,
as
far so
as it comes to this thing, I'm very rational and very thought out, and it's especially even with the art, even with the music and the performance, because, you know, I am a street performer. That's one of the ways that a lot of people know me, as like one of the wildest, most known street performers in New York City, most legendary. And I don't say that to big myself up. I say that because we've done some legendary acts as far as spreading love at so many different places and so many different ways, and with all of the many of the current legends that are New York City street performers. So, and I'm super proud of that, because that's just one of the like staples of the arts of this city. You know, it's like unique to this city. And
you should be super proud. Like, literally, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, but you should just be super proud of like where you've gotten to like today. You know, I feel like I'm looking at all this stuff. I learned new things about you, and I'm just like, damn, okay, you're a force to be reckoned with. I know you want to do what you want to do, and you're going to do it the way you want to do it. And that's always something that's super admirable to like an artist, or like to an entrepreneur, or like anybody who's kind of freelance and figuring out their own shit. You know, it's like, so much of the time you're like, I don't want to do this because it will stop my opportunity to do this, and da 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 da. And I'm like, here you are. I saw you on World Star, and I'm gonna see you on my congressional ballot. So like,
and exactly, and I'm gonna be on there twice. Actually, we talked about me working with Andrew Yang's campaign. I'm also a delegate for Andrew Yang. So when you vote, you actually vote for the person's delegates to then represent them at the Democratic National Convention. So I'm a delegate for Andrew Yang in this district, and then I'm also but the main election is for Congress. So I'm going to be on the, you know, ballot multiple times. And I say that to say, it's like, yeah, like, and that's a really difficult process. You know, that's, they don't make it easy. A lot of people don't know. They think, you know, it's not an easy thing. And so I'm super excited. And I'm going to tell you this, we're going to win.
We're going to fucking win.
We're going to win.
I don't want to say it's a stupid question, but I have a question. So why specifically Congress versus like, I understand there is a difference between Senate and Congress. And you know what I mean? Like by how many people, like how, what states have how many of which and whatever, right. But what made you lean towards, you know, Congress versus. Yes.
So, yeah. So, in the legislative branch, there's, in the federal legislative branch,
right,
there's the Senate.
Yes.
And then there's the House of Representatives, which is Congress.
Right.
So, and then there's the executive branch, which is the president, vice president, all of that. Judicial. And then there's judicial, which is the Supreme Court. Exactly.
And then that's on the federal level. Is the Congress the one that has the representatives that are
based on how many people?
Yes,
exactly. So the House of Representatives, aka Congress, is basically what has the it's like 435 about Congress people.
Yeah.
Based on every like 700,000 people in America.
Yeah.
State to state. So New York has 27 Congress members.
Right.
Because it's a big state with a lot of people. Whereas like a state like Maryland has 7. Mm-hmm. Or a state like California, I'm not sure.
We have hella.
It's like 50 something, I think.
Yeah,
it's
we got hella.
It's a lot. You're like, so I decided to do that because I felt like it's where I could have the most change, and also where I could have my word and my action affect the most people, and where I could be the most helpful. You know, I felt like that's where my policies really needed to be implemented, was on the national level, universal basic income for, you know, for the country, really getting it there and taking it there and pushing everyone who is in office currently to take these policies seriously, you know? So that's why I chose that. And like I mentioned, I also like had experience with that from a young age, just working on Capitol Hill.
You're kind of running into this being like, I am who I am, and I know everyone has their different sides. So, you know, you're kind of going at it from a different way, like not hiding your shit necessarily. You're like, well, we all got shit. So this is who I am. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Exactly. So, and again, as we get closer, no, I do have a team. I actually have a pretty big team that's growing. And if you want to join our team for our campaign, you can go to paperboyprince.com and you can volunteer. And we're looking for people. You can just hit me up at paperboytheprince on Instagram, DM me. But we have a bunch of volunteers, pages, interns, associates that have been helping our campaign. And, you know, I have a few managers that I work with. I do have like a manager for.
Do you have like a PR person that tells you, like, don't talk about this, talk about this?
This is good for you. You know,
maybe conduct interviews this way.
I'm that person.
How serious is it right now?
I mean, it's serious.
It's very serious.
We like release, we have press releases that go out every day. About issues that are happening, and you can go to my website paperboyprince.com. There's the press releases, but that are about the issues that are important to us and that are important to the community that people tell us about. So, but most of the stuff is like what I like to do and what just feels right. But we do have a growing team that's just like helping to get the word out there. I don't have a. I'm actually getting a PR person, which actually reminds me, I'm supposed to talk to them today, which I forgot. But getting the word out there however we can, and just doing it in a way that's real to people,
because I think a lot of the times people have been voting with their hearts. Like, for example, like Bernie, it just sucks that so much of his like demographic doesn't vote, period. So as much as people are like Bernie, it's like, okay, but what did that equate to in real, you know, in real life or whatever? So
exactly. And so that's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm pretty like known in the area. Now, what does that equate to in votes? I mean, we're going to win. You know, the only, I mean, another thing is when Donald Trump ran, everyone said, even the TV, all the experts said,
oh my God.
Hillary Clinton, oh man, it's like, it's wow, we're going to have our first woman president.
I knew he was going to win.
A big part of this district is artists. A big part of this district is small business owners.
Yeah.
I'm a small business owner.
So they'll see themselves in you.
Exactly.
And kind of just vibe-wise, trust that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a small business owner in this current area. I'm a product of small business owners in the brick and mortar space as well as in the internet space. So, like, I understand what a lot of these small businesses are going through and the effects they're having, especially during coronavirus and beyond. This is like probably the most artist heavy district in the country. It's literally in the country.
It's amazing. I fucking love it. So, for that reason.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the most artist heavy district in the country. So like, that's one of the reasons that I'm fighting for universal basic income, because of what it will do for artists, because of like, the artists here I see are so amazing with $0.
Yes.
With negative money. Yeah. So like with something like a basic income that allows them to take care of just some of the basics, or be able to, that would do so much more. Or it would allow regular people that are fighting for their lives and fighting for survival to be able to pay artists. And that extra basic income would be something where they'd be like, oh, now I'm going to spend extra $200 going, that 200 of my 1,000 is going to go to shows.
And let me tell you something, and a lot of like my clients and customers know this, but I've always been an artist or whatever. So even my porn money, whenever I come up on like some good porn money, it immediately goes to photographers, editors, people who are helping me build my sets, all this stuff, because I want it to go back into the community. And the thing is, it's like one of the only ways I see inequality being crushed in my lifetime, as much as I want to trust the government and stuff. And slowly, you know, I'm going to, you know, start getting more into you, seeing if I can trust, you know, all of these policies, because so far it seems lit. But a lot of times that income inequality, the best way that I see it is from like me getting a certain amount of money from like my porn viewers or whatever, and then like distributing it back into, you know, like an artist circle, or paying my friend for like some shit that I could have bought at H&M, but she has an Etsy store, so I'm gonna buy it from her. I'm gonna, you know what I mean? Right. So I feel like all of that kind of stuff, like putting a little bit of money in people's pockets, like people who don't always have money tend to be really generous actually with their money, because they know kind of what it can mean for someone. You know what I mean? Or that's a very general statement. But I do feel like a lot of like small time artists I see, like they're the first people to kind of support other small time artists, you know? So I can see how that, like, exactly. universal income would then kind of, I don't want to say trickle down because, you know,
no,
that's
exactly.
been used and up. Failed, but it would but trickle it, up. It would right. trickle around. We would spread it around.
Trickle up, trickle around.
Even if you were just write that down. But you know, like things like that. And it's like, for example, you know, my roommate does hair, you know? So it's like, if she comes up on a little money, I'm sure she's not going to mind spending a little bit of money on someone else doing her hair because she realizes the value of that money,
exactly.
you know? But there are people who have never had to work for their dollars in such that way that they don't really see it the same way. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but you can always kind of see it when it's there. Like, I used to work a lot of private events, and the medium rich people were the best people to work with. The filthy rich people, oh, you're not getting a lunch break, you're not getting fucking a tip at the end, none of that. But the medium rich people, who you can tell worked their way, like they were self-made, it wasn't like their grandpa and their great-grandpa were billionaires,
right.
they're the ones that are like, hey, did you eat, are you okay,
right,
I'll bring you a lunch, I'm gonna tip you, thank you so much for, you know what I mean? So
right.
I definitely can see how that it needs to meet directly into people's pockets. Because, yeah, you could worry all the time about, oh, my God, these people are going to spend it on this and that. But, like, who fucking cares? Everyone is spending shit on TVs and drugs. You know what I mean? Mostly rich people. I'll tell you that. But,
right. I mean,
you know,
and
I see how
and
it
the
would.
Numbers even show that. And that's why the problems with stereotypes in media is that, you know, we assume a lot of drug use is by
people of color, marginalized people,
right, or even poor people of color, whatever. And a lot of times it's people with
I'm sorry, I said that, not him.
Well, yeah, well, it's actually another pandemic is the you know, a lot of the issues with prescription drugs and like
right
white
now?
Americans all across the country. But it's people of affluence, people with disposable income,
yep.
to be able to spend on drugs,
yep.
like, you know, a lot of people, not a lot of poor people use drugs anyway, but a lot of times that's not that often.
Yeah.
It's not
and
that often
and the context a lot of the time is very different,
right?
You know what I mean? And you can't really ignore that, you know? And I think a lot of
exactly.
people would like to ignore it so that we could all be like, we're all bad. And yeah, but there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to socioeconomically and like just things like that. But regardless, I really appreciate you chatting.
Yes.
You taking some time.
Yes. We're like you mentioned, we're going through the streets. So every day I'm doing a parade. So I'm recruiting more people to my social distancing parade where we're going through the streets. We're also picking up trash. And,
is that when you wear your bubble suit?
Yeah, that's when I'm wearing the bubble suit.
I saw you yesterday. I don't know if you saw me, but I, like, had to go. I had to make a run somewhere, so I hopped into an Uber. It was the Uber that was right next to you. You were with somebody who was filming you. I walked in, and then I was like, hey, but, like, you were already in your bubble, so.
It was over here?
It was literally, like, I'm pointing
really?
To it. Yeah.
I don't think I...
It was around like 5 or 6.
Right. I remember being out there. I don't know if I...
But you were in the bubble. You were quite literally in a bubble.
Okay,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
So maybe I didn't see you.
Yeah.
You have to like stand in front of me and then I'll see you. But
right.
I did see you the other day, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that day I was like... I was kind of hungover and tired. So I was just like, hey, what's up? I'm going to my house. Good to see you, though.
Actually... never mind. I'll tell you that off air.
Yeah.
I think I saw you off
air. We have secrets off record. No, I'm just kidding.
You're funny. But right. No, seriously. So I also want to say I have a lot of dope music that's coming out like with the campaign.
Yeah.
And that's why I mentioned we're doing this parade around because we're playing these songs. We're letting
yeah.
people know. And it's crazy. People are coming out of their houses.
Fuck yeah.
People are wanting to... do the same thing as us, you know. Other campaigns are
starting because they see that it's a tactic that can work.
They're seeing people coming out. They're like, oh yeah, they like this. They want to see what's going on, you know.
Right.
So
I'm super excited for you. Like, honestly, I'm proud of you for making it like to the point you are. Like I said, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, even though You're going to win.
We're going to win.
We're going to win. We're going
to win. It's our time.
But regardless, I'm fucking so stoked that you're here. I'm stoked that you're, like, on the ballot. I'm stoked you're making these changes and that you are, you have, like, a constant urge to be yourself. Do you know what I mean? And I think that there's something really, really valuable and amazing about that. Thank you. People want to hear more about you because I think you as an artist alone is already so interesting. Exactly, right? We didn't want to go too much into that, like, crazy, because, you know, we have all these other important things to talk about. However, like, what are your influences? Where can people find you? What are some favorite, you know, moments you've had as an artist? And, oh, big question. Did you name yourself Paperboy? When did you name yourself Paperboy Prince?
Oh, yeah. I was Paperboy Prince way before...
Before Atlanta, Donald, right?
Yeah. So. But, and shout out to Donald Glover. He's actually come to some of my shows before.
He has?
Yeah, in New York, yeah.
Shout out to him. He's so cool to do that. Yeah,
and this was actually before the show came out.
Wow, so... interesting, Donald. Very interesting.
No, so I'm saying that to say that, like... And I think he's super dope. And, you know, a lot of people know about Paperboy Prince in the suburbs. And he also came out as a supporter of Andrew Yang and of Universal Basic Income.
Yeah, of course.
After we had, you know, supported and started working with the campaign as well. So saying to say that, like, I think that he's a very smart guy.
He's amazing. Honestly, he's a force to be reckoned with as well.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. So, and I also went to UCB here in New York I did like a lot of comedy work there and went to the training center.
So, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, that's what I'm trying to get to at some point in my comedy career, but I'm like,
you should totally do it. But as far as like other things that I'm working on, and that's a funny name question. Yeah. So yeah, I was already that before that. You know what? I forget that that's the show. And I wonder how many people that maybe go to vote and might see, they might think of the show.
Right. But the thing is, you say Paperboy Love Prince. So I feel like it definitely is a different vibe than Paperboy in Atlanta has. However, would you ever sample?
I have that song. I have a song that's that, yeah.
Of course you have. Okay.
And I'm going to release it. And it was like a Yang / Donald Glover / Paperboy song because I just mentioned about him working with Andrew Yang. He's like the creative. He was like the creative director on the campaign at a certain point.
Oh, wow.
And so like I had, you know, I was one of the early people.
What is Andrew Yang like on a personal level? As much as you can tell.
I think he's a cool person, and I think that he's like would be a dope. I thought he would be a super dope president, and I still
stand by that.
I still do. I mean, especially given our current choices. So, but
oh my god, yeah.
But no. Beyond that, like as far as things that I'm working on, like the Paperboy Games, the show. I already had a festival before the PaperboyPrince.com festival. Where we had so many dope artists from the area live, and it was like not social distancing at all. Yeah. It was like literally like just mosh pits one time, and then there's like yoga another time where people are just super calm. It's just like so many different vibes, so many different people, and just like always like super lit parties. So that's another thing that I like do heavily and as a way to give back to the community. But I also had a meditation church that was
called, I love that
church. Yeah, so we had like a basically a church that's also like a live show.
You know what's funny about that is actually, so I have like a regular I don't know if I told you about this, but I have like a comedy show, like a variety show that I do on live called LOL Hub. Yes. So one time we tried to do something different. We had a Sunday service and it was really fucking fun. Like we just all dressed up like we're going to church. My roommate gave a sermon. He's an actor and he's really, really funny. So if you ever want to do something like that with us, please let us know. It would be super fun. Like, but you know, it's all for fun. So
I like that. I like that. Yeah, exactly. So I'm super big on the event side and I love doing things like that. So yeah, the music, we got a bunch of videos coming out, like I'm making a bunch of different stuff. So, yeah. And we're going to talk because we're going to make some stuff together too.
No, I'm trying to make stuff now.
And now that after doing this, I have a bunch of ideas of things that we can do. I mean, mainly even like, you know, especially since we can make this happen, like just even like talking, and you can honestly help me get the word out, and in a fun way that also helps people see that I'm normal.
Yes. And I think that's really important because I don't want to say that it's a bad thing. You know, it's not a bad thing to have viral shit go viral at all. But I just know also from personal experience when certain things get really big and you're like, oh my God, that's not even me. You know what I mean? I mean, it is me, but it's like, oh, this is not super represent.
That's just one part.
That's just one aspect of me. That's
a,
you know,
means to an end. Also, that's just like, oh, we're having fun, you know.
Right.
That's a part of my job.
So
to do fun stuff.
Yeah. So I think it's cool. You know what I mean? When you can kind of like flip that and be like, okay, I could do whatever I want now. You know what I mean? So I think it's gonna be really interesting to kind of, I don't know, see how it goes, because I do see that you have, you know, different lanes that you work, different boxes that you're in. It's not just, it's not a box, you know. And I think that's what's so mwah, chef's kiss about you.
Exactly. Ha, paper. Yeah. It's our time. Ha, paper. Yeah. Yo, thank you so much. So I'm excited to, like I said, like that's some stuff that we can do together. So we'll talk about that for sure. June 23rd, vote for me. June 23rd, you can vote early, 9 days before that. You can get your absentee ballot.
Yes, absentee ballot. Don't use coronavirus as a reason that you're not going to be going to voting locations. There is such a thing as a mail-in ballot. You can do it through the mail.
Yes, nycabsentee.com. And yeah, paperboyprints.com. Actually, you can do it there too. So go to paperboyprints.com. But thank you all so much. Vote for me June 23rd. We're going to spread love. We got a lot of music coming, you know. Tiger King Queen just dropped.
You got to let me do a hook like once.
Hey, we're going to make it happen. Trust me. We're going to do some stuff. Now I have some ideas.
Yeah, I'm like, let me do a hook. Come on. My voice is not bad. I'm pretty fun. I got rhythm, you know.
We'll do it. We'll actually do it because I'm working on some political songs that I want to make fun, but I want to make it like hot or poppy too.
Right.
So I have some ideas we can talk about.
I'm excited. Okay. I'm fucking juiced. All right. Well, thank you so much, Paperboy Prince. You're amazing. We'll be voting for you when the election comes. Thank you so much for listening.
And we're going to win.
We're going to win. There One we go. More time.
We're going to win. It's our time. Ha, paper. Yeah.